The Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. The Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. All of my life, every time I've heard somebody use that, and I think almost every time I've ever used that, I used it negatively. If you do something wrong, you're going to pay a price. And yet, as I read the text, we read it for our devotional time a while ago, as I read the text, it had both positive and negative, right? It says, God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, this he will also reap. The one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Then the next verse, what did anybody know what it says in the next verse? Don't become discouraged in doing good. So when he gave the principle, inspired by the Holy Spirit, when he gave the principle, you're going to reap what you sow, he talked about the negative part of it and the positive part of it, and then he made application of just the positive part. You need to do good to other people, and you keep on doing good because one day you're going to reap what you sow. And so since I've been preaching all these years on the negative side of it, I'm going to try today, for the next few minutes, we're just going to talk about the positive side of the principle, you're going to reap what you sow. Everybody with me? We're going to talk about the positive side. I'm going to try not to mention the negative side very often. I'm just going to talk about the positive side, that you reap what you sow. And I believe that that principle, you reap what you sow, is one of the few principles in the Word of God that you can take out of context and it is still true. Most of the time when you study the Bible, you have to make sure that you study the context, what goes before and what goes after. Make sure you don't misuse the Scripture. But that Scripture, I believe, you can just take that part of it out and it always applies. You always reap what you sow. You always reap what you sow. Every time. It is always true. If I don't forget it at the close of the service, I'm going to give you two exceptions, but you can just assume that it is always true. You're going to reap what you sow. And that is true positively as well as it is negatively. Now, what I want you to do in your own mind, you don't have to speak out loud right now, but I want you to confirm to your own self that since the Bible says that, it is absolutely true. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. And I'm going to give you about 2 seconds of silence and let you just think in your own mind, I believe God said that. I believe God meant that. I believe that is true. You're going to reap what you sow. It is a farming illustration. It is a farming illustration. I grew up in tobacco country. I grew up in Virginia, just above the North Carolina line. And North Carolina is a tobacco state. And where I grew up, they grew tobacco. And I was trying to think when I was coming up with this illustration. I don't remember the date. But somewhere around February and March, the people around me who were farmers had plant beds for tobacco. February? Later, March. My wife knows all about it. I'll tell you about her later. But anyway, they would have plant beds in which they would put a white sheet over this little spot and they would plant the seeds and those seeds would become little plants. And later they would transplant those little plants into the field that would grow in tobacco. Tobacco gets about 4 or 5 feet high. And then Linda would go pull the tobacco. She loved that job. No, she didn't. She hated that job. In fact, she does not smoke because it's bad for her health. She not smokes because she hates tobacco. You get all that gook on your hand, all that stuff, but she pulled tobacco in her grandfather's farm. But what I want to illustrate is they started with a little seed, put it into plant bed. It became a little plant, and they planted it, and it became a stalk of tobacco that was 4 or 5 feet high. So what you plant is what you get. If you plant tomatoes, you're not going to get tobacco, right? If you plant corn, you're not going to get tomatoes. You always get what you plant, right? All right, let me tell you two other things more about the illustration. The illustration is a farming illustration. You're going to reap what you sow. You always reap what you sow. But did you know you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow? Right? You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. So it would be silly if I had seeds, tomato seed, and I planted the tomato seed, and that's all I got was tomato seed, right? We don't need to plant it. That'd be crazy. So you always reap more than you sow, and you always reap later than you sow. So there's a period of time between sowing and reaping, right? And there's a difference in the crop in that it is more than you sowed, but it is never different than you sowed. You always reap exactly what you sow. It's more than you sow, it's later than you sow, but it's exactly what you sowed. What is the scriptural principle? You reap what you sow. We're going to talk about the positive aspect. Not the negative aspect, but the positive aspect. Let me just use you three examples. And I really hope our young people will listen. I think what I'm talking about today is very, very important. And I think it is a great principle to live by. I think it is a biblical principle. It is absolutely true. And there are only two exceptions, and those exceptions very, very seldom, they happen, but they're not the rule. The rule is you always, tell me, reap what you sow. Tell me again. You always reap what you sow. It's later than you sow. It's more than you sow. But you always reap what you sow. That's a biblical principle. Okay, let's just use, three areas of reaping what you sow. Let's talk about at work. I want to talk about three areas, and then I'm just going to give you, for each one of them, I'm going to give you one thing to do. And say you're going to reap what you sow. We're talking about the positive or negative? Positive, okay. At work, listen to me. At work, always do more than you're paid to do. Always do more than you're paid to do. Always do more than you're paid to do. Now, help me, let's tie it together. The principle is you're going to reap what you sow, right? If I always do more than I'm paid to do, what happens? I build up a surplus, right? I build up a surplus. If I'm going to reap what I sow and I'm always sowing more than I'm paid, then I'm going to build up a surplus. So some way, someday, somehow, I'm going to be paid more than I'm doing. You say, Lee, I think you're crazy. No, I'm just taking a Bible principle, and the principle is you're going to reap what you sow. If I'm at work and I always do more than I'm paid to do, then I've got to build up that some way, somehow, someday has got to come back to me. Yeah. The people I read from says only 5% of you are going to believe that. Only 5% of you are going to believe that. The rest of you are going to say, no way. I'm not doing one thing more than they pay me to do. I'm not doing any extra. If they paid me to do it, I'm going to do that much. And if I can get by with it, I'm not going to do that much. What happens? You reap what you sow. If I'm always giving more than I'm getting, always, then I'm building up a surplus. I've got more coming to me one day, some way, somehow, in the future. Now, it may not be money, but in some way, I'm going to be rewarded. That's a biblical principle. It's the law. God said it. It can't be wrong. It's got to be right. You're going to reap what you sow. So at work, I need to always do more than I'm paid to do. Always. Let me tell you a story about Zig Ziglar. How many of you know who Zig Ziglar is? You ever heard of Zig Ziglar? Yeah, how many of you know who Zig Ziglar is? Zig Ziglar was a motivational speaker. He died 2 or 3 years ago. And Zig Ziglar tells the story of he was going to Birmingham, Alabama to lead a sales convention. And his secretary came to him and said, a lady from Birmingham called, and she wants to spend time with you. She thinks she's got a major, major problem, and she thinks you may be able to help her with it. And he said, well, my schedule in Birmingham, he lived in Dallas, Texas, his schedule, he said, my schedule in Birmingham is pretty tight. I just don't have a lot of extra time from the time I fly in and what I got to do and all that. But he said, I got about 10 minutes before I speak. So if she will meet me behind stage 10 minutes before I'm scheduled to speak, I'll spend that 10 minutes with her. So he said he went. He was standing behind the stage, and the curtain was there. He was on one side. She was on the other side. But they were behind the curtain. So she saw him. She walked over to him. And he tells this story and said he had never seen a person with as much anger as she had. He could tell it in the way she walked, in the way she looked, the expression on her face. And when she got to him, she said, Mr. Ziglar, I sure hope you can help me. I got a major, major problem. I hate my job. I absolutely hate my job. I hate everything about my job. I hate the people down there. I hate everything about it. I hate what I do. I hate everything about my job. And I'd heard about you and all this stuff that you do and people that talk about how great you are and all. Could you help me in any way? I just hate my job. And he said, well, I don't know what I could do. I don't know what I could do to help you. She said, well, can you do anything? He said, well, ma'am, I really think it's going to get worse. She said, it's going to get worse. It can't get no worse. He said, I think it is. I think they're going to fire you. I don't think there's a company in the world that can put up with much anger as you have. I think they're going to fire you. She said, well, what do you want me to do? What do you think I could do to help? He said, okay, I'm going to give you a suggestion. If you'll do it, I believe it'll help you. In fact, I'll almost guarantee if you'll do what I tell you to do, it's going to help you. She said, I'll do almost anything. He said, okay, what I want you to do is take a piece of paper. Right now, I want you to take a piece of paper and a pen and write down what you like about your job. She said, I don't have to do that. I already know. I don't like anything about my job. I hate everything about my job. I don't like nothing about it. Nothing. He said, well, I want you to take a piece of paper. I'm going to help you. We're going to write down what you like about your job. She said, ain't no need. I ain't no need for me to do that. I don't like my job. I don't like anything about my job. He said, well, you need to take a piece of paper. And she just stood there. She didn't do anything. He said, you know what I found? People want me to help them. If they won't take the first step, they'll never take the second step. If they won't take the first step, they'll never take the second step. So she finally agreed. She pulled a notebook out of a pad, but she was still mad and angry, mad at him now. Got her a pen, a piece of paper. Said, okay, there it is. Ain't nothing to write down because I don't like anything about it. He said, do they pay you or you work free? She said, they pay me. He said, well, do you like it that you get paid? She said, yeah, well, I like that part. I like getting paid. I like to have the money. So he said, write that down. I like my job because they pay me to work. Write it down on that sheet of paper. I like my job because they pay me to work. And then he said, well, how do they pay? They pay you minimum wage or they pay you fair wage? And she said, well, to be honest, they pay me better than average. So write that down. I like my job because they pay me better than average. Now I got two things. I like my job because they pay me to work. I like my job because they pay me better than average. He said, how far away from your home is your work? He said, well, she said, well, it's just about 8 minutes from my work, from my house. I just love that part. It don't take me any time. I just get up and I can go right there. said, write that down. I love my job because it's close to where I live. He said, well, do they provide you with insurance? She said, well, they provide me with insurance, health insurance and life insurance. So, well, write that down. I like my job because they provide me with insurance. I said, how about do they provide you with retirement? Do they have a retirement program? She said, yeah, well, we got a good retirement program. Well, write that down. I like my job because we have a retirement program. And he said, well, how about do you have any kind of profit share and anything like that? She said, well, to tell you the truth, we do. So when the company makes profit, we get the share in that profit. I said, write that down. I like my job because we have a profit sharing program. In less than 10 minutes, he found 22 things that she liked about her job. 22 things that she liked about her job. And he said, now what I want you to do, you take that sheet of paper, that little notebook you got, and tonight, just before you go to bed, I want you to stand before your mirror, look yourself in the eye, and read that. The only change I want you to make is instead of I like my job, I want you to read, I love my job. So I want you to stand in front of the mirror, look at yourself in the eye, and read, I love my job because they pay me to work there. I love my job because they pay me above average to work there. I love my job because it's close to my house. I love my job because they provide me with insurance. I love my job because they have a retirement program. I love my job because they have a profit-sharing program. Read all 22 of them. All I want you to do is say, I love my job, and then read them. Read them through, looking yourself in the eye just before you go to bed tonight. You'll sleep a lot better. Then when you wake up in the morning, I want you to stand in front of the same mirror with the same sheet of paper, and I want you to do it again. I love my job because they pay me to work there. I love my job because they pay me above average to work there. I love my job because they provide me with insurance. I love my job because they provide a retirement program. I love my job because it's close to my home. And I want you to look at yourself in the mirror and read it. Well, he didn't hear anything else from us. 6 weeks later, he was back in Birmingham, Alabama at a sales convention. And this lady was not in sales. She was not a salesperson. But at this sales convention, she was sitting on the front row. Don't know how she got in, how she worked today, but she was sitting on the front row. After his speech was over, she came up and talked to him. Guess what she said? Mr. Ziegler, you would be amazed at how those people at work have changed since I talked to you 6 weeks ago. You'd be amazed at how those people have changed. See, our attitude toward anything makes a world of difference. And your attitude toward your work, since the Bible says you're going to reap as you sow, since the Bible says that, you need to give more to your work than you get from it. Always do more than you're paid to do. Always do more than you're paid to do. Because if you do that, what does verse 9 say? If I continue to do good, one day I'm going to reap. I'm going to reap later than I sow. I'm going to reap more than I sow. But I'm going to reap exactly what I sow. It's not going to change. So, the principle is you reap what you sow. At work, what do we say you need to do? Always do more than you're paid to do. Always do more than you're paid to do. If you do that, you always got a surplus. You got more coming back to you. Why? How do I know that's true? Because the Bible says so. You're going to reap what you sow. Okay, how about at home? How about at home? Let me give you the thing I want you to do at work is do more than you're paid to do. At home, what I want you to do is love everybody in the family with real biblical love. And let me tell you what that means. Real biblical love means that you do what's best for them. You do what's best for them. Does not mean you do everything they want you to do. That's not what it means. Real biblical love is to do what's best for them. James Dobson would call it tough love. Tough love. It's not tough love, it's real love. You do what's best for them. Let me give you two or three examples from a parent's perspective. Let's say you're a parent. One thing you need to teach your children is you need to work for a living. And it's a hard lesson in our day because they know a lot of people who don't. They know a lot of people who bum off the government and let the government take care of them. And it's more and more of those people. So we need to teach our kids, no, the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow, and therefore you need to make sure that you work for a living. Make sure that you work for a living. Learn that and teach them that by giving them things to do and paying them to do things at home. Teach them that you work for a living, that you have a responsibility to take care of yourself. It's your responsibility, nobody else's responsibility. The only way the government can give you anything is that they take it away from somebody else. The only way the government can give you anything is that they take it away from somebody else. And the day comes when they got more people that they're giving it to than they're taking it from, our country is going bankrupt. Some of you think we're already there. But anyway, it can't happen because you always reap what you sow. You always reap what you sow. And I bet you if we would take a survey in here, most of us know one or two people that's getting disability that's not disabled. we know people who are getting welfare, getting food stamps that don't deserve them. Every one of us know people like that. And you just think about the whole country's like that. The fact is, the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. So what happened to those people who are getting something for nothing? If it is true they're going to reap what they sow, one day that's going to backfire. And the principle is, you're going to reap what you sow. So we teach our kids to work for a living. We teach our kids that when you get paid for doing something, there's three things you do with your money. You've just earned it. It's your money. You earned it. You deserve it. But there are three things you do. You give God 10%. You save 10% for the future. And you spend only what's left. Okay? You give 10% to God. You save 10% for the future. And you spend only what's left. What do I mean by that? Don't go in debt. Just spend what you got. Don't go in debt. Our whole society in America is set up on this debt business that everywhere you go, they just want to just almost beg you because they make more money on your charge account than they do on the products they sell you. So you go to a store, want to put it on your charge card? Put it on your charge card. And so if you can't pay it off in a month, don't charge it. The only exception is you can borrow for your home. And you can borrow it for a business loan, but you need to be careful in both of those. So we need to teach our kids that. Another thing we need to teach our kids, if you're a parent, you need to teach your kids, you reap what you sow. So am I teaching my kids that when every time they get in trouble, I bail them out? What am I teaching my kids if every time they get in trouble, I bail them out? That's okay. They don't have to reap what they sow. Now, sometimes I bail them out because I love them and care about them, and there is such a thing as grace, right? So sometimes I bail them out, but sometimes I need to teach them, you need to pay the price. Linda has a brother who owns a trucking company, a little small trucking company, and a lot of times he's talking about family members, but he says about them, if you're going to be stupid, you got to be tough. If you're going to be stupid, you got to be tough. If you're going to do crazy things, you need to learn that you got to pay a price for that. You got to pay a price for that because the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. So at home, I need to love everybody in my family. How about if your wife continually mistreats you? You still need to love her and do everything you can for her because the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. No, I'm going to get her back. She done something bad to me, I'm going to do something bad to her. Well, all you're doing is starting the process. You're going to reap what you sow, and what's going to happen? Okay? Now, it is true. It is true. You're going to reap later than you sow, and you're going to reap more than you sow, but you're not going to reap anything different than you sow. Not going to happen. So you reap what you sow. Trying very hard to be positive, the whole thing. We doing all right so far? We positive so far? What do we do at work? Always do more than I'm paid for. Always do more than I'm paid to do. What do we do at home? Love everybody in the family with real agape love, real biblical love. Even if that person doesn't reciprocate, even if that person doesn't love me back, I need to still love them because for me, I'm still going to reap what I sow. If I mistreat them, I'm going to be mistreated. Now, again, maybe a period of time, you can tell me people that have been married 40 years and treating their husband just great, and the husband been mistreating them all this time. I think it's still true. Even though I can't see any evidence right now, I think it's still true. The Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. Some way, somehow, someday, you're going to reap what you sow. Some way, somehow, someday, you're going to get that. That's coming back to you. If you do the right thing over and over and over and over, it's coming back. God said so, and God cannot lie. God cannot lie. So what do we do at work? Do more than you're paid to do. What do you do at home? Okay, let's talk about at church. At church, you need to practice the spiritual disciplines. You need to practice the spiritual disciplines. What I mean by that is you need to read your Bible regularly. You need to pray. You need to give. You need to treat others as you want to be treated. You need to attend church. All those things. You know, somebody said, well, Lee, you know, I started reading my Bible. I read my Bible every day for 12 months, and I can't see any difference. I can't see any difference. It hadn't done anything for me. I've read it every day for 12 months, hadn't done anything. The principle is you are going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap later than you sow, and you're going to reap more than you sow. But you're going to reap exactly what you sow. So if I'm sowing to my spiritual life, if I'm reading Scripture instead of looking at them junky TV programs, I'm going to reap what I sow. Someday, somehow, some way, I'm going to reap what I sow. That's God's principle, and that's true every time. There are no exceptions except the two I'm going to tell you about a little later. But you can count on it. You're going to reap what you sow. So you need to practice the spiritual disciplines at church. Bible study, prayer, giving, attending church, partaking of the Lord's Supper, those things. Because you always reap what you sow. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap from the Spirit eternal life. That's what the text says, right, in verse 8? That's what it says. So even if I can't see any evidence, I still need to believe God. I still need to believe God. When you're living on a farm and you planted something, you can see it grow. That's not always true. In life, you can't always see it grow. But it is always true. You always reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow. You reap more than you sow. But you always reap exactly what you sow. Every time. You got to believe that. You got to believe that. And you can take that principle and apply it almost anywhere in your life. Almost anywhere. Now, and what I want you to do, just to illustrate that I didn't take it completely out of context, that you do reap what you sow, I want you to, somebody to look up Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Tell me if I got the right verse. I know the first half, have trouble with the last half. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. Ready? Is that what it says? Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. By the standard you measure, it will be measured to you in return. That's the best of the verse, kind of, sort of. Okay? So what that verse is confirming is God's principle is that if you give, it's going to be given back to you more than you give, right? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will give to you. The fascinating part, almost every Bible scholar I know says it's talking about other people is going to give it to you. It's not talking about God's going to give it to you. That verse, talking about other people going to give it to you. They're going to give it to you. Because most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, people treat you exactly the same way you treat them. You can find exception, but most of the time, people treat you the same way that you treat them. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. The principle is, you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. And try as hard as you might, you cannot change that. You cannot change it. Now, you can find people who temporarily seem like they're breaking the law, they're breaking the rules, that they haven't sown anything and they get all the benefits. But one day, someday, some way, somehow, you're going to reap what you sow. And one of the greatest things that can happen to our young people is to learn that that's true. That's true, even if all the evidence I see seems to indicate that I can get something for nothing. I can't get something for nothing. So at work, I need to do what? Tell me. Do more than I'm paid to do. At home, I need to do what? Love them with agape love. Whether they love me back or not, doesn't make any difference. Well, it may make a difference. It may hurt my feelings and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't really make any difference because what? I believe the Bible principle that one day I'm going to reap what I sow. How about at church, what I need to do? Spiritual discipline. Read my Bible, pray, attend church, partake of the Lord's Supper, all that kind of stuff. Because all those spiritual things will make me more spiritual. I'm going to reap what I sow. Now, I told you that there are very few exceptions. There are two exceptions that I want to talk about. The only two exceptions that I know about, you might tell me another one, the only two exceptions I know about. One is, you are going to reap what you sow, but it's not going to change the curse of sin. It's not going to change the curse of sin. In other words, you are going to get old and get sick and die. Right? Let me tell you another exception. An exciting exception. I mean, this one will excite you. If I've convinced you at all that you're going to reap what you sow, and you realize what you've been sowing, I want to tell you one exception. One exception. And that is, if you accept Jesus, He'll wipe all that stuff away and reward you as though you're the greatest thing that ever lived. Isn't that fantastic? Boy, what an amazing, great, good news that is. That God's principle is, I'm going to reap what I sow. And that principle, it happens over and 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 over. It always happens. It always happens. It always happens. And God comes along and said, okay, I'm going to make one exception. If you'll accept Jesus as your personal Savior, then you won't have to pay for your sins. Wow. Wow. If you've never done that, you need to do that. Otherwise, you need to learn the principle. You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow, but you always, always reap what you sow. And it works positively as well as it does negatively. What we've talked about today is the positive aspect. At work, I need to always do more than I'm paid to do. If I do that, I'm building up a surplus. At home, I need to love family members with biblical love. That means I seek their best good no matter what. Doesn't even matter how they treat me. I need to seek their best good anyway. Because for me, if I do that, I'm going to be rewarded, right? I'm going to reap what I sow. They also going to reap what they sow, which may not be too good, but I'm going to reap what I sow. So I need to make sure that I don't get caught in the trap of trying to pay them back, because if I start paying them back, then I'm going to reap what I sow, and that's going to be a negative part. At church, I need to read my Bible, have my prayer time, attend church, give my money, all those kind of spiritual disciplines I need to be involved in, because you're going to reap what you sow. Great positive news. It's not just negative. It's good positive news. There are things you can do that's good, that's right, that's proper. And he talks about that in verse 9 and 10 of the text, Galatians chapter 6. Doing the good things, and you will be rewarded one day. So the principle is, tell me, you reap what you sow. The concept is, it is later than you sow, and it is more than you sow, but it is always what you sow.